the opportunity to present our results about DAMA MA and DAMA Libra setups in Gran Sasso laboratory. So before to start my talk, I would say a few words about the data detection process. And in particular, in this corner here, I put what some people call the standard schema, which is the elastic scattering of dark matter particle, which is inside the galactic halo, impinging a detector made by this cube here, and inducing a recoil of a nucleus. So the nucleus is a charged particle, and therefore the energy of the recoiling nucleus can be detected by standard technique as ionization, bolometer, or scintillation. You already, this morning, you listened to some talks regarding the detection by using mainly bolometer and ionization method. But this is just a part of the history, since there are many other possibilities. For instance, also considering the same case of elastic scattering, there are the possibility to excitation of bound electron in the scattering. And this is the so-called Migdal effect. And in a such process, you have the detection of recoiling nuclei energy, but also the detection of some electromagnetic radiation coming from the excitation of bound electrons in the atoms. You can have some other process, which have been considered also in literature, which is based on the fact that the dark matter particle can get an elastic scattering on nuclei, namely this kind of process. And in this case, there are some kinematical constraints, and the situation, the phenomenology is completely different from what you see before. There are other possibilities. For instance, one has been said this morning, is the conversion of particle into electromagnetic radiation. If the dark matter particle would be an axion-like particle with a pseudo-scalar or scalar coupling, for instance, this particle can convert all its energy, which is mainly the mass, into electromagnetic radiation in a detector, producing X-rays, escaping electrons, gamma rays, and therefore just electromagnetic radiation. Another possibility must be considered, which is the case when a dark matter particle, this case is also true for the neutralino case, when a dark matter particle interacts with the electron in the atom of the detector. This scheme has never been considered up to a few years ago, since the electron is generally considered at rest. Therefore, an elastic scattering of a very heavy dark matter particle on an electron produces just a recoiling electron with a very thin energy, and therefore undetectable by any kind of detectors. But you have to consider also that this electron has a certain momentum distribution inside the atom. Therefore, you can have some probability, which is small, 10 to the minus 3, 10 to the minus 4, to have a momentum, very high momentum, about 1 MeV over C or 10 MeV over C. So in such case, this kind of elastic scattering can produce electron with enough energy to be detected by suitable detector. So also in this case, you have a production of just electromagnetic radiation, an electron, a recoiling electron. Another possibility is also the case when, for instance, the case of sterile neutrino, but you can generalize this schema for many other candidates, is the schema in which you have an interaction of a light dark matter particle on electron or nucleus and producing a lighter particle. And in this schema, the detection schema produces a recoiling nucleus, but also electromagnetic radiation. I say this one because you already understand from the talks of this morning that there are experiments which are based on rejection procedure of electromagnetic component of the rate. And in this experiment, the signals from these candidates are completely lost or partially lost. due to the fact that they can see just recording nucleus. So we can classify the experiments in two big classes. One is the classes of the experiment depending on the recognition of the signal due to dark matter particle based using a model-independent signature. And another case is the experiments, the classes of the experiment, which are based on the use of a certain technique of rejection of electromagnetic background, which add some systematical effects, and also provide some loss of candidate, for instance, in case the dark matter particle can provide just pure electromagnetic, pure or partial electromagnetic production. So for this reason, we started many years ago to consider a model-independent signature, which is the only feasible one, that is the animal modulation signature. By the way, I would like to remind also that there are many other, another signature which is well known and is very good, which is the detection of the correlation with the track in case that you have recoil with the motion of the Earth and the galactic frame. But this is unfortunately unfeasible now with the present level of technology. So the only feasible one is just the annual modulation, which is a model independent signature, and it is based on the fact that the motion of the Earth inside the galactic halo is different in different periods of the year. In fact, the Earth velocity is given by the sum, naively, by the sum of the sun velocity, which is of course a constant in the time scale we live, plus the orbital velocity of the Earth. So we know that the sun velocity is around 232 kilometers per second, while the orbital velocity is about 30 kilometers per second. There is an angle, a tilting angle, which is about 60 degrees. So this means that this production is 15 kilometers per second. So there is a period in the year, which is the 2nd of June, in which the Earth velocity is quasi parallel to the sun velocity. Therefore, the two velocities must be summed. And there is another period 6 months later in which the two velocities are anti-parallel. Therefore, the velocity must be, there will be a difference. So the Earth velocity in the galactic frame vary along the year. Its maximum, which is about 247 kilometers per second, is maximum in June, and the minimum 215 kilometers per second in December. Therefore, also the flux of the dark matter particle on the Earth vary along the year, and in particular vary also the counting rate, the expected counting rate due to a dark matter particle. If you take a counting rate in a certain energy bin, K, you can write the counting rate in this form: a time-independent contribution plus a time-dependent contribution with a certain modulation amplitude and a cosine function with the proper phase. So it's clear that the requirements for annual modulation are very strong, and are many and are very strong. So you have to find a modulated rate according to cosine function, just this one, just in at low energy, where the dark matter signal is expected, with a proper period, which is 1 year, with a proper phase, that is the maximum is expected around the 2nd of June. And then when you have a multi-detector setup, these features must be found just for the singlet events. There are events in which only one detector is firing and the other one no. Moreover, the modulation amplitude, SM, is in the region of maximal sensitivity, is of the order of a few percent, up to 7%, but this depends largely on the model of dark matter particle you assume. It's clear that to mimic and to fix such a signature, spurious effect and side reactions must not only account for the bull observed the modulation amplitude, but also satisfy contemporaneously all these requirements here. So we constructed that many years ago the dam experiments just with this purpose. And few words about the collaboration. DAMA is an observatory for rare process, not only for dark matter, but as I will make some few words about this, we make several other study on several other rare process. It's a collaboration between Italian Chinese people with many other groups in Kiev, in different experiments, Kiev and Frascati and India. We have several installation in the Gran Sasso National Laboratory of INFN in Italy. We have here, in this point between O A and O B, we have the installation hosted the DAMA and A, the first generation of this experiment, and now hosting the DAMA Libra setup. We have another installation with the DAMA Lexenon setup, liquid Lexenon setup. Another one, which is called DAMA R&D, mainly used for small scale experiment and test on prototypes. And moreover, we have one germanium and the facility of germanium laboratory to make some other rare process study. Of course, I do not enter in this detail. This is just a list to show you how the other setup as a liquid Xenon and R&D during this year produced and published several results in many field of the rare process, for instance, double beta decay, of course, dark matter in both cases, using different scintillators of calcium fluoride or xenon, but also making some other rare processes. You see several double beta decay in several isotopes of xenon, but also many other here. And Pauli exclusion principle violation and so on. So this is just a list to make some publicity, some advertisement. So regarding the first setup, the DAMA NAEs, it was a 100 kilogram pure sodium iodide detector, and it allowed to make many during the data taking. It allowed to make several studies on different topics. For instance, solar action has been mentioned this morning, too, and the setup has completed its data taking on July 2002. And it produced the first results of modern independent evidence of particle dark matter in the galactic halo with a very high confidence level, which is a 6.3 sigma. The total exposure of this setup is 7 annual cycles, corresponding to 0.29 tons per year. After this setup, we mounted the new DAMA Libra setup with a larger mass, 250 kilogram sodium iodide. This detector has been obtained as a result of second generation R&D for more pure sodium iodide, exploiting new techniques, chemical and physical radio purification techniques. These are some photos during the installation in the end 2002 and beginning 2003. You can see a typical detector. One detector is made by 9.7 kilos sodium iodide. The scintillation light of sodium iodide is seen by two photomultipliers through a 10 centimeter light guide. All the setup is as an housing of copper, high purity copper. And the installation was done in high purity nitrogen, as you can see. And for this reason, we used a diving mask, to breathe and at the same time to avoid any pollution of all the materials, all the surface of the materials of the detector. Here is a photo, a picture. Okay, these are pictures during the installation. These are a typical picture of one detector without some shielding. And these are the 25 detectors made in a matrix of 5 by 5. Okay. With this setup, we published the performances procedure. I will say a few words about this in nuclear instruments method. We published last year also the results on dark matter particles, and we'll discuss about these results now. And moreover, recently we have also made a new study on possible rare process using this data, possible process violating we put a very nice limit on the process violating the Pauli exclusion principle. in sodium and iodine nuclei. So these are other photos during the installation. This is a typical photomultiplier with the homemade voltage divider, and these are all the materials before the mounting, during the etching, and during the protection against pollution. This is a sketch of the setup. I say we have 25 detectors made in a matrix 5x5. The setups are inside, the detectors are inside a box, copper box, sealed copper box, and inside a big, very heavy shield made by low radioactivity copper and external and outer the low radioactivity lead, several layers of low radioactivity lead. All the system is inside a shield for neutron, as you can see the yellow things, and all the installation is inside of about more than 1 meter of concrete made by Gran Sasso Rock. And this is typically our installation. These are the detector, the shield, and in the first floor we have a glove box allowing the calibration of the setup without changing the operative condition, because we can directly access the detectors, putting the source close to the detector, and in this way we can calibrate without changing the electronic condition, and also without including the pollution, since all the handling is made by using this glove box. Okay, these are some results. I will show you some results about our detectors, in particular about the contamination, which is an important issue for the determination of the good quality of a low-rare experiment. The uranium and thorium contamination is at level of a few ppt, parts per trillion, and has been determined by using several methods, for instance recognizing the alpha particles inside the detectors, and identifying also the peak of each alpha particles, and as you can see in this picture. Moreover, we use also a time amplitude method, which is studying the energy and time correlation of the events in our detectors, so to recognize some chain, some radioactive chain. I show just, for example, this case when there is this chain with the father is radon 224 and several daughters. The time scale is of a few seconds, minutes. And you can see that we can recognize this kind of event since we can measure the half-life of the isotopes and also the peak position. And this allows also to recognize how much is the quenching factor for alpha particles in our detector. Okay, these are some technicalities, but I think are in every case important to know the performances of the detector. Regarding the potassium 40, we measure the contamination, residual contamination of potassium 40, which is lower than, which is around 10 ppb. And this has been done considering that the potassium 40 has a certain probability to emit during the electron capture a 3 keV X-ray, and at the same time also 1461, the famous, fortunately famous, 1461 keV gamma ray. And there is a certain probability that can be calculated by Monte Carlo program, that the high energy gamma escapes the detector and goes in an adjacent detector. So studying the double coincidence, as you can see in this picture, we can recognize a spot here, which is given just from this event, 3 keV in one detector, where the potassium 40 decay, and 1461 keV in an adjacent detector. This can allow to measure how much is the potassium contamination, residual potassium contamination, but also, and this is very important, to study the energy threshold of each detector, using a calibration point just close to the energy threshold. The energy threshold of our detector is 2 keV. I remind you that sodium iodide, and this sodium iodide has a response which is about 5.5, 7.5 photoelectron per keV, and this is one of the largest in this field. And in particular, our experiment is the only experiment which use a point, a calibration point, just close to the energy pressure. Okay, I skip this part, but of course we make several calibrations, energy calibration at different lines, not only at 3 keV. There is a good linearity, a good energy resolution of the detector, both in the low energy range, where the dark matter study is interested, but also at high energy. The only data treatment we make is to remove the photomultiplier noise, which has a typical time structure, as you can see here. The photomultiplier noise has a very, is a spike, has a very fast pulse with the time characteristics of about a few nanoseconds up to 10 nanoseconds, while a typical scintillation event has this time structure, which is the response of sodium iodide is about 240 nanoseconds. So we can construct several variables to recognize the two typologies of these events. And in this plot, you can see, for instance, a scatter plot of two variables, X1 and X2. They are defined as a ratio of area with different, using different gates, different integration time. And okay, you can see here a production data in which you see noise and scintillation pulse in the energy bin 2-4 kV. This is in the energy region 4-6 kV. And these two plots have been obtained using instead the gamma external gamma source. So the procedure is to put some stringent cut here around the scintillation pulse. This allows to remove completely noise and to reconstruct the efficiency of this procedure applying the same cut on a gamma source. Okay. We released up to now 4 years of data taking. The data taking was started in March 2003, and actually we start in September 2003, the data taking, September 2003. Since we wait for 6 months to allow the decay of medium half-life isotopes. Moreover, two remarks. One is that one PMT has a problem after 6 months. So in this data taking, actually, we consider just 24 detectors and not 25. And okay, there is some residual cosmogenic iodine under 25 contaminant presence in the detector in the first years. And that is motivated the start of the taking in September 2003. So we have 4 years. The total exposure is about 200,000 kilograms per day, which is a number several orders of magnitude in times with respect to the other exposure collected in the field of dark matter search. And when you put together the exposure of the DAMA Libra 4 years and the DAMA NAE, we have 11 years of the taking with about 1 ton per year, 300,000 kilograms per day. Of course, now the DAMA Libra is continuously running and is continuously taking data. This is the typical energy spectrum we have. The energy threshold is 2 kV, so forget what is on the left. The typical counting rate is 1 counts per day per kilogram per kV. This is the typical, as mentioned before in another talk. This is the typical unit used in this field. And just to close to the energy threshold, we have the calibration of 3 kV peak coming from potassium 40, as I said before. Okay, these are the results of the residuals. Residuals are considered the rate of which detector once we subtract a flat contribution for the detectors and for each energy bin, averaged for all the detector and for all the bins considered in the interval, in the energy interval. These are three plots. The energy threshold of the detector are 2 kV. So these plots are, the first one is in the energy region 2.4, these are 2.5 and 2.6 kV. And these are the residuals as a function of the time. So you can see the 7 here. The dashed line correspond to the 2nd of June of each year. while the dotted line corresponds to 2nd of December of each year. So these are the first part, okay, show you this plot. The first part is for the Dama and Naid, the first 7 years, and the last part is for the 4 years of Dama Libra. You can see that there is a better statistic, of course, because the detector mass target is much larger, and so there are less fluctuation. When you study, the first things that we can study, of course, is to see if these points are simply fluctuating around zero. And the chi-square say that, okay, you see that the chi-square is more than 110 in all cases, and the degree of freedom are 67. So that it's clear that they are not fluctuating. The probability that they are simply fluctuating is very small. The probabilities are very small. Why, when you make a fit considering a cosine-like function with the phase 2nd of June, 152 days in the year, and the period 1 year, you have a very nice chi-square, and at the same time, the modulation amplitude is well different from zero. For instance, in 2.6 kV, the modulation amplitude is about 1.3 × 10⁻², counts per day per kilogram per kV, and the confidence level is about 8.2 sigma. So the data favor the presence of modulation behavior just with the proper features as expected for dark matter particle with a high confidence level. Okay, we study also the case when varying the phase and the period. And in this table, you can see what's happening, leaving free the period and the phase for every energy bin, for the period of Dama Libra, and all the periods together. And you can see that the period always well compatible with one, the phase is well compatible, is compatible with the 152. And we make also a study to see if there are some variation of the modulation amplitude along the year, since there is a point at 2.6 kV, which is the modulation amplitude are different, are 2 sigma different. But making a chi-square test and run test, we can accept the probability at the 90% confidence level that there is compatibility among all the annual cycles. Another study is the power spectrum of the single heat residuals. The power spectrum show a very nice peak at corresponding to a frequency of about 1 year, the inverse of 1 year. While if you make the same job for another energy region just above 6 kV, 614 kV, you have just some aliasing peak with a small significance, a statistical significance. So this means that there is a principal mode in the 2.6 kV region, but it is not present in high energy region, just above the 2.6 kV, where the clear anomaly modulation is present. So another point, we make several studies on this subject. In particular, I try to summarize here. We have no modulation above 6.5. We have no modulation above 6 kV. And in fact, you can see in different energy regions that the modulation amplitude that were compatible with zero. Moreover, another important thing is the study of multiplet events in the region of the signal. Up to now, we discussed about the single heat events where only one detector is firing and the other one no, but we can study also the cases when there are multiple heat events, that is, more than one detector is firing at the same time. It is clear that the multiple heat events are signal with just background, since dark matter particle cannot make double, triple scattering in our setup. So multiple events are events, if you want, in which dark matter particles are switched off. And in these plots, you see the red points are the same points you see before, but are compacted in 1 year. So you see the clear modulation we discussed up to now. But making the same job in the same energy region for the multiple events, we have the green points, which are well compatible with zero, and you can see this one also studying the modulation amplitude, which are well compatible with zero, as you can see in this case. So this offers an additional strong support of the modulation we observed, independently on hardware and software procedure, since the two plots have been obtained with the same hardware and the same software. Okay. Another thing is to study more accurately the modulation amplitude, binning the data with the lower binning, with the, for instance, one day binning using a maximum likelihood procedure, and studying this kind of ansatz, which is a signal made by flat contribution plus a modulation amplitude, the period 1 year and phase 2nd of June. And in these plots are reported as a function of the energy, from the energy threshold of 2 kV up to 20 kV, are reported just the modulation amplitude extracted by maximum likelihood procedure. You can see here that there is a clear excess with respect to zero in the energy region between the threshold and the 5 or 6 kV. This is what we already observed in the residuals. And there are after 6 kV, the points are simply fluctuating around zero, and this is also supported by the fact that the chi square above 6 kV is about 24 with over 28 degrees of freedom. So these are simply fluctuating around zero. Just an important thing is to study if there are some correlation between external and internal detectors. So these are what we obtain for Dama Libra. This detector here is the detector out of trigger for all the data taking. You can see what's happening in the case of external detector. This is inner detector, and these are total detectors. And you can see by chi-square analysis that they are well compatible. So the signal is distributed between the detector. And we make also this study. I have no time to discuss this one, but we make a statistical distribution how the signal is, if the signal is democratically distributed among the detectors. And what we observe is that we construct a chi square variable, which is reported here for every detector. And you can see from this chi-square over degree of freedom that these are well compatible with the one, are fluctuating around one. So we can, the line here is the probability that of an upper tail probability of 5%. So we can conclude that at a 95% confidence level of the detector, the signal is well distributed along all the detectors. And in particular, the mean value of these 24 points is 1.072. which is slightly larger than one. Although this can be still ascribed to statistical fluctuation, we can for a moment ascribe to a possible systematic. So we can increase by hand the error of the modulation, the obtained the modulation amplitude, in order to having as a constraint that the mean value should be one. So this means that we can introduce a possible additional error, which is of the order of 4.7% or 0.7%, depending on which way we combine the error. And this can be considered as an upper limit of possible systematic. So since the time is over, I go to to the conclusion. We make several studies of different possible source of systematic or side reaction, and I do not discuss any of them today, but if you want we can discuss also in the coffee break, in the lunch time, as you prefer. So the only things that I want to say is that the Cautius upper limit can be considered for every kind of sort of possible item, and these upper limits are of the order of 10^-4 counts per day per kilogram per kV, which is a factor under the lower then the modulation amplitude that I remind you is about 1.3, 10^-2 counts per day per kilogram per kV. In these plots, you see some example. I don't, of course, I have no, I don't want to stress so much at this point, but I want to show that this point here are the modulation amplitude I already showed you before. And over this point are superposed some models, several models, and you can see here, considering this is the case of spin independent dominant coupling with several island models and so on. But we make the same job for other things. For instance, this is the case when spin independent mix and coupling are considered. So every model we consider, every of these models, of course, can well reproduce the modulation amplitude that we have. It's clear that it's very important to understand in order to disentangle between the model, among the models, to know what's happening below 2 kV. And this is, in fact, one of will be the future of the DAM experiment. Okay, now we go to the conclusion where DAMA is and where DAMA is going to. Okay, DAMA Libra over several annual cycles confirms the results of DAMA NAE. The confidence level is 8.2 sigma, and the total exposure is about 1 ton per year. We made the first upgrading of the experimental setup in September 2008. You can see some photo and also the improvement we obtained in the overcloth. We replaced the photomultiplier problem, and so now all the detectors are taking data. And since October 2008, again, we are again in data taking. The next upgrading of the setup will be to replace all the photomultipliers using all the photomultipliers, all the 50 photomultipliers of the setup, using a photomultiplier with higher quantum efficiency. This is the goal of this operation is to lower the energy threshold of the detectors in order to study better, in order to disentangle among the different models. I have to remind before conclude that we are also studying at the R&D phase, we are studying the possibility to make a 1 ton setup using sodium iodide detectors. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Question about your threshold. So you showed the plot where you have the total rate and you have it from below 2 kV, which is your threshold. But you haven't published the efficiency below 2 kV. So I'm wondering whether, when looking at these models, whether you know, below 2 kV about the total rate.
Is this one? Sorry, I'm looking for the plot.
Yeah,
this one.
So you're.
So what we have is the energy threshold of our detector is just to 2 kV.
Yeah.
So we cannot conclude anything below 2 kV with this present setup. This is the reason why we do not analyze it at all. It has no meaning what's happening below 2 kV.
Okay, so
what we want to do is to improve the detector performances, just changing the photomultiplier and increasing using photomultiplier with the higher quantum efficiency, just to decrease the energy threshold below 2 kV.
So you're saying that if you were going to derive constraints on some dark matter model by using the total rate below 2 kV, you would...
No. We use as a constraint in our analysis just what's happening above 2 kV. We cannot trust in what's happening here. Of course, at this point, we obtained with a very low efficiency, so we do not consider it all. Otherwise, this is the if you want, is the definition of energy threshold of a...
Yeah.
Of a setup. Energy threshold means that you consider what you have at the energy greater than the energy threshold. And the below, of course, has no meaning. However, I would like to stress that our detectors works using two photomultipliers in coincidence and the hardware threshold is at a single photoelectron. So we can collect events at very low energy. So this is threshold is just a soft energy threshold.
Are there any possible backgrounds that could have such annular modulation effect?
Yeah, unfortunately.
And the second question is about this threshold. The you said there's no modulation above 6 keV, and then you see something above 2 keV. But what about then between something, let's say between 4 and 6, instead of 2 and 6, but rather if you look at 4 and 6, what happens?
Okay, I show you the modulation amplitude as a function of the energy at a certain point. Just a moment, I will show you again this plot, this one. This is for the second question. And you can see here is just the modulation amplitude as a function of the energy. So if you want, for instance, if you want to know what's happening between, I don't know, 4 and 6,
yeah.
You can see here, these are the modulation amplitude between 4 and 6. The plot that I showed you before are for the residuals and the integral being 2, 6, 2, 4, 2, 5, 2, 6. But if you want the differential amplitude, okay. You can see here. And the other point is yes, you are right. Unfortunately, I do not have time to discuss, also because it's quite boring things. The part regarding the study of systematic, but our literature is full of these arguments because we collect many parameters together with the data acquisition. So we study for every item, and we study the possible. I can show you just the way we have the procedure we use in such evaluation. For instance, the thermal neutron. Some people say that the neutrons can be responsible for the modulation of the observer. So it's clear that this must be this item, but also the other items, of course, must be deeply investigated. And we did this job already at the time of the first data release. So for the case of neutrons, the situation as described in this slide, the thermal neutron. First of all, we have a shield in a neutron shield in our setups. Moreover, we have a way to identify the thermal neutrons in impinging in our just in the core of our detectors. In fact, thermal neutron can produce the activation of the sodium 23 and sodium 24. When you have a sodium 24, sodium 24 has this decay schema, so it produces decay by beta. And then it gives two gammas in coincidence, high energy gammas. So you have a certain probability to see in the detect to see such a schema, a beta particle, an electron in one detector, and two gammas with a certain energy in two adjacent detectors. These are triple coincidence. If you study this triple coincidence for all the 4 years of the taking, we obtained, when we make this analysis, we obtained about three or four events total in 4 years. And these events are well explained by thorium 232 background. The thorium 232 background has a gamma at 2.6 keV. And this can simulate this triple coincidence by some quantum scatterings. So we can conclude that we can put an upper limit on the presence of sodium 24 in our detectors, knowing the cross section. We can also put an upper limit on the thermal neutron flux in just in the location of our detector. And this upper limit is 1.2 × 10⁻⁷ neutron per square centimeter per second, which is a factor of 10 lower than the thermal neutron flux measured in the Gran Sasso laboratory. This means that our shield, neutron shield, allows the reduction of thermal neutron by a factor more than 10. Actually, we don't know because it's an upper limit, so we can say that the reduction factor is larger than 10. Well, okay, if you consider, for instance, that this is clearly is an hypothesis, that this thermal neutron flux has a modulation. This is a clear debate in our field. Since there are people that measured some neutron variation in underground laboratories, as in Baradello 9, and also in Gran Sasso laboratory, there are people of Icarus collaboration which measured the time variation. But in any case, this is not important. If you consider a 10% variation of thermal neutrons, we can easily calculate how much is the contribution coming from this item. And this contribution is very small with respect to the modulation amplitude, observed the modulation amplitude. Moreover, don't forget that in case of some item like this, you can have variation also of, you can have, you cannot reproduce all the six requirements of the modulation amplitude. For instance, if there are some thermal neutron variation, you have a variation in all the energy spectrum. So there are no single variation at low energy. And then you can have also, depending on the flux and so on, you can have also a variation in the multiplet events, because neutron can make a double scatterings. Instead, the dark matter particle cannot. So this is an example, of course. I take this example of thermal neutron, but we can discuss many of these examples. For instance, the muon, for instance, the fast neutrons, other kind of background like radon, like radon, neutron, muons. And generally, we summarize all in this table here, I already show you.
Natural background and natural contamination for potassium 40 is about 10 ppb. What absolute count rate would that correspond to?
Well, it corresponds about to 0.2 counts per day per kilogram per kV, something like this.
0.2. Okay. That's lower than I thought. For you, we showed the differential oscillation spectrum. Is that for Dharma plus Libra or for just Libra or?
Just which plot?
You showed the differential.
Okay. That is for all the Dama NA and Dama Libra.
Okay.
If you want, in every case, I show you also. I have shown before also the. Sorry. This one. This is for 11 years. Okay.
So that's for the total. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I look at your numbers where you give the oscillation amplitudes in the different energy ranges for just Libra, it looks like there's no oscillation of 4 kV.
These are Libra. This is just Libra. Because, of course, this analysis consider just the total detectors, not the.
Where you give the integral numbers in your table.
Yeah, in fact,
it looks like there's nothing left for.
In fact, I show you an analysis, statistical analysis we made just to study what happens at this energy bin in the 5-6 kV energy bin. We have this table here. We have a variation of 2 sigma. This is statistics, of course.
Well, if I just look at the Libra data, you have an amplitude per kV.
Well, you can see this plot here. These are just the modulation amplitude in 2-6 kV as a function of for every year. This is the first year, second, three, and so on. These are Dama NA, and this is the 4 year of Dama Libra. So this is the problem we are talking about.
It's 2-6, but if you look at the table above, you compare 2-4 to 2-6.
Yeah,
2-4, you have the amplitude 0.0213, and then 2-6, you have 0.0107, which is.
Yeah, exactly. 2-4, 2-5, there is not this effect. The effect is in the 2-6 kV energy.
If I just subtract the amplitude that you have in 2-4 from the 2-6,
yeah, but you can see the plot I showed you before, no? You can see the plot I showed you before, and then you can see that you can make the difference of comparing the Dama NA and Dama Libra. It's clear that Dama Libra in the 5-6 kV is about 2 sigma more than Dama NA is higher than 2 sigma than Dama Libra. So this is the situation, just in two energy bits, but this is what our data say. And in every case, we are inside any kind of statistical analysis we can do.
One very short comment, which just struck me when I read your paper. And in the beginning, you showed this very nice low energy calibration line at 3.2 kV. And then when you read the full paper and the appendix, you analyze your signal as possible 3.2 kV electron recoil, which is exactly the same energy as your intrinsic contamination.
You say in one of these plots I showed you before, yes, this is one possible. Of course, you can. So in one of these plots, yes.
That your signal is exactly where your background is.
Yeah, but you have to consider that there are some huge error bars, so you can move this plot where you want. Of course, in case you consider it just an axion-like particle, and it's clear that you can fit this region here, but if you have a 4 kV axion particle, you cannot fit nothing. So it's clear that this can discriminate this kind of candidate in the Gaussian shape.
Okay, let's thank Luigi and all.